The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome in, everyone, to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. The Red Sox just fell to the Texas Rangers 6-1, your final score. Lucas Giolito takes the loss, and the Red Sox are now one game under 500. I'm your host, Jason Kelly. I'm here with Terry Cushman and Nick Diamond. So, guys, let's dive in. Another poor showing from the offense, another, you know, roller coaster outing from Giolito. Nick, I'll start with you. I mean, this Texas Rangers team, they're not exactly firing it up right now, but they looked like a professional outfit against the Red Sox, and Red Sox really didn't.
You know, first off, Giolito didn't have it. He kind of just throwing slop right down the middle. His fastball was 90-91. His changeup was 82-ish kind of, and it was all right down the middle. He had nothing else. He has just fastball changeup. He didn't throw that curveball at all, really. He needs something else to break it up, or he's not going to be a very good major league starter ever again. He looked good last outing, but he was dotting up. He really hit all the spots. When he's not perfectly painting the corners, he has not got enough stuff-wise to compete against. I know the Rangers were scuffling, but they're not a bad major league baseball team. They have really good hitters in this lineup. They have guys that could potentially go to the Hall of Fame. Corey Seager is a really good hitter. You know, like, these guys are not bad players, but a team that you should beat again, you know. I'm really disappointed in tonight. The offense was awful. Giolito didn't look good. You know, the at-bats looked terrible. We'll get into it later, but that's how I feel right now.
Terry, who are you more frustrated with, Giolito or the offense?
You know, you kind of stole my thunder there. I was going to say it's kind of frustrating, you know, with Giolito, but I think I'm madder at the offense. You know, we can get by without Lucas Giolito. We can cut ties when it makes sense to do it. He did have a pretty good outing last week. Gave up just, what, 3 runs over 6 innings, 2 of them in the very final inning. It was almost a stellar outing last time. So it gave you a little bit of optimism that, you know, maybe he could get off to a decent start here, but just absolutely got buried in the 4th inning. It just seemed like the Rangers went through the lineup one time, didn't really do much, and then knew exactly what they wanted to do, and they were just hitting the ball hard. I think they led off with, what, 2 doubles in the 4th inning and just kept knocking him around. And Bernardino was in the game 5 runs later. But to me, it really is the offense. I mean, it's just absolutely punchless right now. Trevor Story is just completely useless. 0-for-4 tonight. Jaron Duran, 0-for-4. You know, no one had a multi-hit night. And it's just, people are starting to say it. Is this who we are? Is this really who the 2025 Boston Red Sox are? That's what Bill Ripken said on MLB Network the other day. He goes, by 40 games, you pretty much know who you are. And we're at about 40 games right now.
Yeah, it certainly seems like this is the kind of offense where if you go up against, you know, a 4A pitcher, they can score 13 runs. If you go up against anyone else who's a legit big league starter, it's a struggle. It's like pulling teeth to get this offense to do anything. And look, Evaldi's been really good this year. So coming in, he was pretty hot. Had a 2-1 ERA coming into the game, so that's even lower now. His numbers have been really good. He's just, you know, he's been really solid for Texas. So, you know, and he's used to his ballpark. He likes pitching here. So you knew it was going to be a tough matchup. And this is the kind of game where Giolito really had to be stellar. He had to only give up 2-3 runs at the most, because once it got to 4, I mean, that's it. This team right now, they go down 4-0 against a pitcher like Evaldi, they may as well be down 15-0. The offense just, they're not going to get it done. Not at that rate. So Giolito wasn't good enough. That fourth inning really got away from him. And it wasn't the usual things that plagued Giolito. It wasn't the long ball. He was just giving up base hit after base hit. I don't know if this was just a Cora thing, a defensive choice, but there were a couple of ground balls that if Campbell's just shifted a little more towards second base, he might have a chance to get. But for whatever reason, he was shaded so far over to the first base side that he couldn't get to it. So that was kind of frustrating too. It's like, what, you know, like, are you overthinking it? Like, I don't know. It felt like another sort of, you know, question mark towards Alex Cora. Like, why is Campbell so far towards the first base bag? And, you know, again, those are two ground balls he probably could have gotten to. So it was death by a thousand paper cuts. The Rangers do have a good offense, as Nick mentioned. Like, they have a lot of good hitters in that lineup. They just got Josh Jung back. So, you know, he's one of their young, better players. So it was a bad matchup to begin with. Yeah, Texas's best pitcher, at least that's healthy right now, and you had a guy in Giolito who is inconsistent, and if he struggles with his command, he's just ineffective. And so the recipe just came together. It was a perfect storm of just what's wrong with the Red Sox right now. The starting pitching is not good enough, it's not sharp enough, and the offense just is lifeless. So it was a bad combination all around.
And what about Newcomb? He came out basically for mop-up duty. Alex Cora said in the post-game interview, he saved the bullpen and, you know, kind of sets us up to hopefully win a couple more games in games 2 and 3. And you're what? 4 out of 5 games you've lost to the Rangers. So that's asking a lot. But 4 innings from Newcomb, gave up 4 hits across those innings. 1 walk, struck out 3. You don't have Buehler back. That looks like that's just going to be a short absence, but I don't know. How long before does he get back into the rotation?
I mean, if Giolito, you know, keeps on struggling and can't find his command, his stuff isn't that good. So it's like, if that keeps happening, it might be another phantom IL stint for him. He's got to, you know, go down and figure some stuff out. But look, Newcomb, once again, you know, kind of shows that he deserves at least a spot on this roster, because he did save the bullpen, which game one after a day off is super important, because you don't want to burn your pitchers when, you know, you've got 6 games in a row coming up here. So big outing from him for sure. It at least was, it was mop-up duty the way it's supposed to be. So, you know what? Give him credit for that.
I believe Sean Newcomb looked better than Giolito did today, but there's no way they flopped them in their roles with Giolito making the money he is and Newcomb being a non-roster invitee. Just how it's going to be. Giolito has to be absolutely awful for them to flip-flop at the moment.
Well, Giolito doesn't have the benefit of the Red Sox being a winning team right now. You know, we're falling more and more by the day here, and arguably the easy part of our schedule is over. It's only going to get tougher. So I just don't know how long of a leash Giolito really has.
Yeah, and that's the most annoying part too, is that, you know, we talked about it, you know, last week, but they blew it in terms of having that easy schedule in April and, you know, through the first parts of May. They completely blew it. It's going to get harder from here. And it, you know, this lineup struggling the way it is, like, they're only going to run into better pitchers, and Giolito is only going to run into better hitters. So it's kind of one of those things where I think maybe we overrated what they did with the roster. We overrated Giolito coming in. I mean, you have to remember, this guy was god awful. You know, the last couple of years, he's really fallen off. And I think fans sort of treated him coming back as like, oh, okay, he's going to come back and everything will be stabilized and will be good. No, like, this guy's a reclamation project. Again, you're dealing with more reclamation projects, even here in 2025 under Greg Breslow. And this is what you get sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't go well and he gives up 6 runs and that's it. You're toast. So, yeah, it's only going to get tougher from here. And, you know, the Rangers is a team that you can beat. On paper, you can beat them. But just right now, the way things are going, bad matchup. Absolutely bad matchup.
We're going to talk about Alex Cora coming up here, but we saw one hitting coach get fired, as we covered in the last show. And I think the Red Sox helped the Rangers tonight more than their new pitching coach, Brett Boone, did. But I don't know. I mean, at some point, I've been a Peter Fatsy guy, but maybe something has to change.
Yeah, I've been a Fatsy guy too. I've generally been supportive of him. I think, you know, last year in particular, some guys really took a step forward under him, like Jaron Duran having his breakout year. I think, you know, Fatsy kind of had a lot to do with that. But it's hard not to point the finger at him when you have a better lineup on paper, at least, you know, through most parts of what you had last year. And they're just not doing anything. But at the same time, you look at that bottom half of the lineup, like the first half looks pretty good. Duran, Devers, Bregman, that's pretty solid, right? But now you've lost Casas. Trevor Story is who Trevor Story is. He can't catch up to anything over 94 miles an hour. It's just the way it is. So, and then you've got him in the middle of your lineup, and then the bottom half, you know, Narvaez, Toro, Rafaela, like, that's not going to get it done. Those guys are easy to pitch to. They're really easy to pitch to. So I'm not sure. I think Fatsy is doing all he can with what he's working with. But at the end of the day, that bottom half of the lineup is rough. And any team with any sort of competent pitching program knows how to deal with those guys. So you've got to do all your damage with Duran, who admittedly is off to a slow start. Devers, who I think is still off to a slow start. Bregman, who's just about the only guy who's hitting. And, you know, and then Abreu. Like, that's what you have to do your damage with. After that, your lineup's weak. And your lineup is easy to pitch to, and that's never a good thing. You know, especially once you start getting into these tougher games against better teams with better pitching that know how to approach it. So I'm not ready to do the whole fire Fatsy campaign. I don't think he's the problem. I think it's the talent this time.
I really don't think it matters if you fire him or not. Go ahead, fire him. I don't care. Right now, you got to put the best team on the field, and that's calling up Roman Anthony, calling up Marcel Meyer, and replacing players that are not as good as them. Put the best team on the field, and you'll probably start to win games, or you'll start to do better. You can't have guys batting 215, 220 in the lineup. I like Rafaela, but he's batting like 219. I like Carlos Narvaez, but he's batting under 220. Abraham Toro is going to be another one of those guys if he's the starting first baseman every day. You can't have so many of these guys in the lineup. So you have Roman Anthony, who looks like a superstar. You can just put him in the seventh hole. You just got to get somebody to play first base. As long as you figure out the first base situation, Roman Anthony or Marcel Meyer, depending which way you go, will fit right into this lineup pretty easily. And then that lengthens the lineup, might fix some of the problems. It might not, but it's worth a try. I think that's better than firing the hitting coach. At least give the hitting coach the best talent to work with.
You're on mute, Terry.
I keep pulling a Charlie. As I'm pulling up notes here, it sounds like a herd of elephants. So I'm trying to make sure no one hears that. But as I was saying on mute, part of the reason I was a Fatsy guy is, you know, Jaron Duran had his breakout under him. You know, Sadon Rafaela has been okay, not spectacular, but he's been a viable major leaguer under Peter Fatsy. Christian Campbell off to a very good start. Just glancing through the lineup here, I mean, Devers has continued to be a top 20 player in Major League Baseball. Connor Wong has had some upside. So that, in my opinion, I think has Peter Fatsy's fingerprints all over it. But you're going to have to make a change here. The Red Sox blew past the luxury tax here. They invested in starting pitching. They signed a record contract at their highest AAV ever in Bregman, which fortunately has probably carried us at times. And I just think a drastic move has to happen. And you look at first base right now. I was pretty annoyed when they called up Abraham Toro on Sunday, but I'm like, all right, we're on the road. The Casas thing just happened. It's it impacts the roster in a major way. It's going to take a few days to sort through this, but they came back to Boston for the homestand. They had an off day. They've had plenty of time to figure it out. Abraham Toro is still here. And I'm not exaggerating. Here's every notable first baseman of the last 15 years. And it's not a big list because three of them took up a huge chunk of that. But I'm just going to throw Toro in there just because he's the current guy. But you've had just over the last several years, Garrett Cooper, Dom Smith, Tristan Casas, Bobby Dalbec, Franchi Cordero, Michael Chavis, Danny Santana, Steve Pierce, Mitch Moreland, Hanley Ramirez, Mike Napoli, Adrian Gonzalez. So those last three, Ramirez, Gonzalez, and Napoli, that's about 5 or 6 years of first baseman. But that's the list. And when you look at the Alex Cora era here, that's all the ugly ones I mentioned. Dom Smith, Franchi Cordero, Bobby Dalbec, Michael Chavis. All those guys, that's the Alex Cora era. And first base is literally the easiest spot to resolve on the roster, and they just don't value it for some reason.
They also stupidly thought that Tristan Casas was going to be an Iron Man this season. And, we don't need first base insurance. He'll play all 162. Like, what are you thinking? That this guy has, he's both of his injuries now. And look, I feel bad for the kid. I'm not, it sucks what happened to him, but the rib injury last year, because he swung too hard. So that's just a baseball play. He's just swinging a bat and he rips his rib apart. And then this one, he's just running down the first baseline and rips his knee apart. These are not freak injuries. Like, I'll admit that Trevor Story's injury was a freak injury. He sprawled out making a diving play. It wasn't a routine play, right? So that one, okay, you want to put that in the freak injury category? Fine, go ahead. Tristan Casas, these are routine things that he's getting hurt on. So for the team to go into this year thinking, oh yeah, he can play 160, 150 games, whatever, that's crazy. You had no backup plan. Their only backup plan was Romy Gonzalez, who's not even a natural first baseman. He's not really meant to be playing over there. Like, you had nothing. You had no other plans, nothing out there. Like, I'm sure there were plenty of free agents they could have given just cheap deals to, that if something happened, they can at least be a representative body over there at first base. They didn't do anything. And now they're scrambling. There's no one available. Like, I love this idea from Red Sox fans. Like, oh yeah, just go trade for Nathaniel Lowe. The Nationals aren't going anywhere this year. They'll trade him to you. It's May. It's May 6th, May 7th soon, whatever. The teams aren't trading away their first baseman, even if they think they're in the toilet and they're not going anywhere. And by the way, the Nationals don't think that. The Nationals probably think they're a wild card team, or at least they have a sniff at it. So they're not going to trade you Nathaniel Lowe. None of these teams are just going to trade away their first baseman just because you need one. That's something that the team should have addressed in the winter, and they didn't. And now it's biting them in the ass. So once again, yes, they had a pretty good offseason, but there were still some areas where you go, what the hell are you guys doing? You're not managing the roster properly. And now it's rearing its head, early on this season.
They have multiple options at first base, not real options, but they have multiple ways they can go. But they're just too scared to ask. Cora refuses to ask Rafael Devers, do you want to try first base? He's probably going to say no. That's what Rafael Devers does. He is going to complain. He's going to be annoying, but at least ask him. What if he says yes? And then you fix a lot of different problems. It opens up DH. That means Roman Anthony's probably on this team. Or maybe they somehow bring back Masataka Yoshida because he said today that he could hit if he was a DH only, I guess. But I doubt that happens. I think it's Roman Anthony. But yeah, or you can move Trevor Story there, or you can move Christian Campbell there. Anything is a better option than Abraham Toro. Even Romy Gonzalez is a better option than Abraham Toro. I'd rather watch Romy Gonzalez go out there until he proves he's not that good of a player. He's batting like 330 at the moment. Let him play over Abraham Toro. I want Romy Gonzalez to prove that he's not an everyday player, which he's probably not, but I want him to prove that he's not. I don't even care if Abraham Toro ever sees the field. I know he made a good play today. I know he hit a ball hard, but it's Abraham Toro. It's not a – I'd rather see Roman Gonzalez. He's more athletic and runs the bases better. He can steal field bags. I think Abraham Toro is an awful option.
He hit a technically a single today, tried to stretch it into a double and was out. I wouldn't say he was out by a mile, but – he probably shouldn't have went for it. And what I'm wondering is, whose call is it? I'm guessing it's Breslow's call to say that Abraham Toro's the guy. That's who I'm calling up. That's who you guys are going to have. Shouldn't it be the manager's call?
Yeah, but the manager's got to speak up about it. You know, the problem is the manager's sitting there saying, well, you know, reporters are asking him, have you asked Devers about playing first base? Like, no. Are you going to? No. So it's like, okay, well, then you're stuck with Abraham Toro. So, you know, I think Breslow probably wants to leave it in Cora's hands, but maybe Cora's just so fed up with dealing with Devers. He's like, no, just give me Toro, whatever. Screw Raffy. I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. It's weird. But it should be Cora's call. I can't imagine Abraham Toro's his guy, that he's like, yep, no, that's our best lineup. Abraham Toro at first base, not Rafael Devers and maybe, oh, I don't know, this stud number one prospect in baseball who's tearing up the minor leagues right now. It's just, it should be Cora's call, but I think Breslow is just kind of like, okay, well, you guys aren't talking, so I got to make a move here somehow. I need someone at first base other than just Romy every day. So that's what he did.
Do you see, I think Devers would play first base if given the opportunity, but you guys don't seem to think so. Nick doesn't believe so.
I think if you asked him, he'd be like, no, I don't. I was told I don't wear a glove or something like that. He'd be like, nah. I just think he was annoying about the whole DH thing. You make him go from third base to DH and be like, nah, go learn on a new position mid. Like, what am I, a loser? I don't know. I just don't think he cares to go play DH or first base anymore.
I think I actually.
Cora should force him. But for some reason, he's scared to, or he doesn't think it's the right decision. But he's going to do it eventually. Kind of like the Kike decision. Eventually, he put him at shortstop and eventually had to take him off because he cost the game so many times or cost the team so many wins. If this keeps happening and the Red Sox keep losing, you're going to have to put Devers at first base, stick him out there and see what happens. But they need to get him reps at for the game now. We got to get him as many reps as possible because he's never done it before.
Yeah, I agree with that a little bit. I think it should be Cora's call, and it shouldn't be like a press conference or a long sit down. It should be, hey, Raffy, we're really hurting. You know, we got to make some changes to the lineup because we're sick of losing. So grab a first base glove and go out there with whoever the first base coach is. I don't even know his name, but go out there with him. Take some grounders, get used to it. Okay. All right. See you later. That should be it. Like, this back and forth between these two has to stop. And it's on both of them. It's on the manager for not, you know, being a manager and saying, look, I got to put the best lineup out there. So, you know, Rafi, you got to play first base. And it's on Devers too, because he does put up this front of, you know, he's declining interviews from Chris Cotillo because he knows that Cotillo is going to ask him about the first base thing. Like, that's really cowardly, dude. And I get it. Like, Rafi's never been face of the franchise. He's not a big talker. But I'm sorry, you're the highest paid player on the team. At some point, you're going to have to address this stuff. And, you know, your first baseman just went down for the rest of this season and probably part of next season too, right? Like, that's a massive injury. And you're sitting there like, no, I'm not talking about first base. No, I'm not answering those questions. If, you know, if Cora wants to talk to me, then okay, but I'm not going to talk about it. Like, Devers should be in a position where the team is struggling. You're under 500 now. He admitted last year he's sick of losing. He's sick of not going to the playoffs. He should be sitting there going, you know what? Give me first base glove. Like, you know, call up Roman Anthony, call up Marcelo Meyer, whatever. Like, if me going to first base allows us to have a better lineup out there, then yeah, I'll do it. But instead, he's doing this diva act again. And Cora's just kind of letting him do it, which is really frustrating.
Matt McCarthy from the Sports Hub just kind of weighed in on our stream and said he forgot Danny Santana even existed. So did I as I was compiling the list, but he did. And I think he failed for PEDs here in the last year or two. But I'm a little surprised that we're disagreeing here. And Mike Reed on the Devers not wanting to talk about it thing is, I think he got read the Riot Act after that little press conference he had. And I just don't think he's allowed to talk about it. And I think perhaps we'll at least agree on this to some extent. There could be a permanent rift between him and Cora at this point. And it's too bad it had to get here.
So he should want to, I think Devers should want to get out in the field because this is his chance to get back on the field long-term. Because if Devers takes a first baseman's glove, there's a very good chance Costas never comes back and never plays first base again. It's Devers' position for the long-term. I really think they sat Devers down and said, you're a DH forever. Forget about fielding. I'm so over, dude. I'm sorry, but you're never going to field again. So that's why I think he's going to be like, haha, I'm not doing it. I'm just, nope, that told me no. Why would I help them now? That's kind of how I feel about him going to first base. I want him to play first base. And what is he going to do? Like, if you pencil him in the lineup, he's not going to go do it. I think he's going to do it, but I don't think he's going to be happy about it.
Yeah, and to Terry's point, like, maybe there is a permanent sort of divide between him and Cora now, because Devers sitting there going, dude, I've got my contract. I'm all set. You guys paid me. So I don't need to go out of my way to do you any special favors, especially since you pretty much lied to me in the winter when, you know, you and Breslow up there was like, oh, yeah, we have total confidence in Rafi's defense at third base. By the way, we're pursuing Alex Bregman and Nolan Arenado. But we have total confidence in Rafael Devers as our third baseman. Like, that whole thing was a clown show. And then they bring Bregman in, and they're like, yeah, you're a DH. Deal with it. Even though when spring started, they wouldn't say it, right? Oh, no, Bregman's going to play second base. No, he's here to play second base. Rafael Devers is our third baseman. And then finally, oh, yeah, no, you're the DH. Sorry, we were just kidding. Haha. Like, yeah, I can see Devers being pissed and just sort of sitting at home counting his money going, you know what? No, I don't need to do you any special favors because you kind of stabbed me in the back. So deal with your first base problem yourselves because you told me I'm a DH. I'm starting to get comfortable with it now. You guys wanted me to get comfortable with it. So there you go. Too bad. And like, if that's the case, that's a huge problem for this team to be having because if the star player or one of your star players has lost confidence and lost trust in the manager, then who else is going to start losing trust in him? And then the wheels really start to come off. So yeah, it's early, but like, you know, Mother's Day's around the corner. Memorial Day's not too far after that. Like pretty soon it's not going to be early anymore. It's going to be, this is a problem kind of territory.
Yeah. Devers hasn't been a vocal leader his whole career. He's been on record saying I'm not comfortable with it. You know, I'm just here to do my job type of thing. But I think he could have forced the Red Sox to keep him off of DH. If he doubled down and was defiant and was outspoken about it through the media outside of that press conference, I think he wins. I don't think the Red Sox can win that PR battle against their star player. And you look at, just imagine, here are three examples. You know, what if the Yankees said, you know, listen, Aaron Judge, you're injury prone. You don't have the range you used to have. You're a DH now. And Judge says, bleep you. I'm the right fielder for the New York Yankees, or center fielder. You know, if you're going to put me on the bench all night, essentially, just trade me, get me out of this, you know, crap hole city. How's that going to go? Who's going to win that battle? Aaron Judge is going to win that battle. You know, Mike Trout, maybe we're a year or two too late for that conversation, but he would win the battle. Bryce Harper would win the battle in Philly. And by the way, Harper did become a first baseman, and I don't think that was on anybody's bingo card as recently as 2021, 2022. And, you know, and we're all Hanley Ramirez survivors. If Hanley, I made a case over the weekend that maybe Trevor Story could do it just as a way to call up Meyer and inject life in that way. And that's still an option, by the way. And I love it when people say, oh, Story's never played the position. The dude's a great athlete. What are we worried about? That's almost as dumb as saying you can't move to Devers to DH. He's never played that position. It's almost as dumb and stupid. So of course Devers could play first base, and I would gladly sit through a week or two of errors till he sorts it out, just to inject some life into this team. If Alex Cora and Devers aren't talking, that's a problem. Devers isn't going anywhere unless he forces it. And Alex Cora, you can't lose the clubhouse and with this type of performance that we're having. All he's got left is the clubhouse right now. And it's his job to fire it up, get this team on the right track. And if Devers, you know, this is a terrible way to put it in his case, but if this is like an elephant in the room, not going away type thing, that could derail a clubhouse. It could absolutely derail a clubhouse. And I've never seen a team with a bad clubhouse go deep in the month of October.
It's true. And look, eventually the public pressure is also going to start getting to the team, because just the last couple of days, even end of last week alone, I've never heard so many people call in to sports radio saying, yeah, Alex Cora needs to be fired, like today. I mean, usually Cora gets a stay of execution from the fan base for quite a while. Not now. It's May 6th and the fans are calling in being like, fire this guy. We're done with him. We're fed up. Like, that's going to start to bleed into the clubhouse too. And that's going to, you know, Breslow's going to hear that. The players are going to hear it. Like, it is. It can become a quick problem if they don't address it quickly. So, yeah, it's – and, like, I agree with Lou Maloney. He sent out a very simple tweet. Just like, Rafi Devers can play first base and he can be good at it. Not just, like, Hanley Ramirez serviceable. Like, I think Devers could be really good at first base. Most of his defensive problems were throwing. He was erratic when he was throwing, but his range side to side is good. He can get side to side pretty quickly. So that's really all you need to do as a first baseman. You don't have to throw that much. So I think he could be good at it. It's just whatever this is between him and Cora, it's preventing that from even being a conversation. And that's pathetic for a team that's now under 500, that you can't even have a discussion about your star player potentially moving to that position because him and the manager aren't talking. That's crazy. And that's a stupid reason to keep losing baseball games too. So hopefully someone decides to be the adult in the room between those two and figure it out. But who knows at this rate?
Could you imagine if Terry Francona just lost David Ortiz, or if John Farrell lost David Ortiz? Like, that it would have been instantly catastrophic. But Alex Cora might have lost Rafi Devers. And the unfortunate thing for Devers is they kept giving him a crap roster every year. And so he hasn't had those big October moments because the organization has kind of held the team back for really flawed philosophical reasons up till this year. And I still think this this is a talented enough team to win the division. Maybe not at, you know, 94, 95 wins, like I said, but it, the Yankees, they just DFA'd Carlos Carrasco today. I don't know what they really have for options. I don't think I'd heard of, the young prospect they're bringing up, but this is an organization that's, I don't know, you might have to shake it up. And you mentioned Lou Maloney saying, you know, Devers could be a good first baseman. I saw the tweet. He and Dave O'Brien were talking about it on the air. Sean McAdam on his podcast was talking about how he expected most likely Devers will go to first base. And someone else, Rob Bradford, like the universe wants Devers at first at this point. It makes all the sense in the world. But there's a major malfunction going on, and I don't know. And I think the only move you can make, and this isn't one I've wanted them to make, but you're going to need an interim manager, and you're probably going to do it internally. It's probably going to be Jason Varitek if the move happens. But I don't know. It's too bad Francona didn't wait an extra year. You wanna change history and make it right. That would have been a good move. I wouldn't be shocked if he would have just straight up said no and waved the middle finger. And he deserves to do that. But you know, it would have been a great full circle moment.
Yeah, absolutely. But he's over there in Cincinnati right now doing his thing. And by the way, for all the people that, you know, well, Cora is the highest or one of the highest paid managers, and you know, so is Craig Counsell. Yeah, well, Craig Counsell's got his team in first place with probably a lesser roster than what the Red Sox have. What's Cora doing? So he definitely needs to pick it up as well. So any final thoughts before we put this one to bed? That it?
There we go. Yeah, I personally think Cora's job is safe, like until the season's over at least. If the Red Sox don't make the playoffs with this roster, with this division, in this American League, then maybe you could talk about Alex Cora's job. You just extended him. Are they really going to eat that much money on a guy they absolutely love or they have loved in the past? Maybe their thoughts have changed this much drastically or this drastically in the last year. I don't think so. They extended him during a losing season last year. I don't think they're going to fire him during a 500 season this year unless it gets completely out of hand with Rafael Devers. And Rafael Devers like wants to be traded, or he says I won't play under Alex Cora, which I don't see happening. I think they'll be fine. But I really do think Alex Cora's job is safe unless it completely blows up. There's no change coming this year. I don't see Jason Varitek being the manager, and I really don't want that happening either. If there is a manager change, it's got to be completely new. Blow it all up, you know. I want Bailey gone. I want everyone gone. I do think if there is a manager change, it would be Bailey. I think that's Breslow's guy. And I don't think he deserves it. He hasn't done enough. He hasn't done anything. But I mean, he helped Houck last year, but he's turning into nothing. So he has some success. He's got a lot of failures too. So we'll see how he does this year. Bale looks better, but I don't think Bailey's done anywhere near enough to be deserving of a manager's job.
I would tend to agree. I mean, they probably won't. There's going to be a lot of noise. And I think if Alex Cora doesn't react to that noise and use that noise to get this team on the right track, that's a huge problem and a big conversation for October, November. But I don't know which way they would go to do that, but it's got to be someone that can resonate with this clubhouse. I'd love them to go old school, but I think we just live in a different world now. But yeah, if he were to get fired today, something awful would have to be going on behind the scenes, and that's what would lead to it.
Yeah, I agree. I think Cora's job is probably ultimately safe. It would take something catastrophic for them to want to fire him, especially, you know, as Nick pointed out, they just extended him. The organization loves him. So it would take something really, really bad for that to happen. I don't think we're there yet. I think this is still, again, they still have time to turn it around, but it's just the signs don't look great. That's all. The optics don't look very good right now, but it is still May. You can still do it. You can still turn it around. So, and if they were to fire him, one name to keep an eye on who's just sitting at home right now, David Ross. I mean, that's the guy who Breslow's familiar with, right? So that could be an external option, but former Red Sox player. So maybe there's some connection there. But again, I don't think it's happening. I think that Cora's probably safe. Even if they do go 500 and miss the playoffs, they'll just chalk it up to injuries or whatever. They'll blame someone else, but he'll probably get at least a stay for this year. So
David Ross, I didn't even think of that, but makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, he's out there. He's available. So, and that kind of noise will come up. That will start to drum up a lot more. So, like you said, Cora's got to respond to it the right way and get, you know, whip this team into shape. So with that, we will wrap up this episode. Everyone, thanks for tuning in. We got Tanner Houck on the mound tomorrow. So last start was pretty good. Hopefully he can duplicate that, and hopefully the bats wake up a little bit and we can get a win in here. So, you know, get back to 500, get this thing back on track. So everyone have a good night. We'll talk to you later. Take care.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariana. We call him Day Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.